Welcome to the Added Value Podcast. I'm your host, Jules Thompson, and here we're talking all things influencer marketing. Through conversations with brand building professionals and the content creators who support these thriving businesses, we're uncovering what it's like to build a personal and professional brand in the social media age. We are gaining a better understanding of each other's perspectives, struggles, learnings, and expectations in order to better work together to achieve our common goals. We are owning the value we are all bringing to the table, making the influencer marketing industry more collaborative and effective. Thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get to the show.
Be really intense in the sense of like, give yourself grace, but also be highly honest with yourself and don't live in this like world of everything I'm doing is great and everyone should want to follow me. You have to give people a reason. So I would say like, that's my biggest piece of advice, but also like, don't hold back. Like, don't not do it because you're scared. I listened to a podcast today and I think it was Marie Forleo who said it, but she was like, fear is just excitement with the brakes on. So if you're scared to do something, it's probably because you should do it, but you're just like, you know, you have the brakes on and like, you'll be so pumped after you do it. So definitely go for it, but be brutally honest in your journey and ask for help when you need it.
What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Added Value Podcast. I'm your host, Jules Thompson. And that clip was from one of my all-time favorite people and bloggers, Ashley Cassidy. She owns a popular blog, The Blonde Collective, and is the girl behind the Instagram, Ash Bagash. Now, I am Jules, your host for Added Value Podcast. I am a podcast nerd, influencer marketing specialist, and yep, I'm a new Southern California resident. As you hear in this episode, I'm so excited to now be in sunny San Diego. I made the move with my husband from Nashville about a month ago. And one of the many things that have come out of it was getting to be in person with amazing influencers and brand professionals like Ashley. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to have gotten to sit down with her on my couch. She drove all the way here from LA. To sit down with me, and it's only fitting that this episode is coming out the week of Thanksgiving because I am so thankful for this girl and the impact she's made on my life. Ashley Cassidy is a fashion, beauty, and lifestyle blogger from Los Angeles who graduated with a degree in fashion. She worked in fashion and social media management before transitioning to blogging full time just a year and a half ago. She got married recently, and I mean, I have never seen a more beautiful dress, venue, decor in my entire life. I wanted to get married again just to have her wedding as inspo. Now, I say that because we do get into the not so pretty parts of wedding planning, and as you'll hear, Ashley was not all about the Beyonce life. It was a struggle for her to kind of really get into that fun mindset that most people have. And one of the many things I love about her is her honesty and what she's willing to share with her audience. I related to her blog on that feeling so dearly. But as you'll see from the photos, if you check out her feed, the wedding turned out amazing. Her eye for design is impeccable. I can't tell you how many outfits of hers I've saved, things that I've purchased from her swipe up over the years. I've been following her on Instagram for years until I was able to start working with her and was definitely pleasantly surprised when I reached out for a collaboration. She is just as much of a dream to work with as she is to follow. I knew if I trusted her as a consumer and wanted to buy everything that she shared, our brand would really benefit from having her as a partner, and I was right. After being email buddies for months, we were finally able to meet in person at an influencer dinner that our company hosted in Los Angeles earlier this year. With absolutely zero shame, I made sure she was seated directly next to me so that way we could bond and be the best friends that I knew we were going to be. I was actually really nervous to meet her. I think it was more excitement just because I already knew we had so much in common. The ice broke almost immediately because whenever I went to give her a hug, the wine spilled like all over the floor. She was wearing a white satin dress and she was just so chill about it and like you know, embraced it with so much humor. I already knew that she would be amazing, but this kind of just affirmed how cool of a girl she was, and the conversation flowed from there. She's extremely down to earth. She is very humble, extremely kind, and all around a really supportive, encouraging person. We bonded over Mary-Kate and Ashley movies, hello to the millennial generation, and our mutual love of red wine and San Diego. At the time, I didn't know I was moving here. She had gone to school here, and we bonded over it. And it's just so surreal to have had her over to our house in San Diego now. We've chatted on a regular basis ever since we first met. So when I moved here, I knew I had to have her on the podcast. Getting to know her on a personal and professional level has definitely been a highlight of my year. She immediately said yes to coming on the podcast because she's just that amazing of a person. And she was even generous enough to come all the way over here while she was visiting San Diego. She brought me a bottle of my favorite summer water, rosé. I'm not usually a rosé person, but that's one of my favorite bottles. And of course, we would have the same taste in wine, obviously. So we just sat on my couch and just dived into her story and her thoughts on the influencer industry, because she's really been able to see it evolve throughout the last 5 years. She started her blog in 2013, and it's been 6 years. She's really been able to see everything evolve, and you know, her goal really is to help other bloggers and brands to understand how to be successful and happy in this industry. One of the biggest things that I think sets her apart as an influencer is her heart. She cares so much about providing value to her community and is constantly talking to them. She will send a direct link of something that you're interested in to you, like within minutes. She is so responsive, and she really genuinely cares about every person who she talks to, which, I mean, I just think that that's a great asset of her personality that makes her a fantastic blogger, is she is genuinely interested in what her audience has to say and loves having conversations with them. Brands, this is a great thing for you too, because if you work with Ashley, she's really going to go above and beyond to make sure that people who really do connect with your products have easy access to it. I would seriously be shocked if you sent her a DM and she didn't respond to you within 24 hours. It's insane how dedicated she is to making sure everyone is heard, and she's always returning the love. I could go on and on about what makes her so special, clearly, but I'll just let you see for yourself. Before we get into the interview, I want to remind you to subscribe and follow Added Value Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts so you're notified about new episodes. Also, make sure to follow on Instagram at Added Value Podcast. With all of the updates and changes happening on social media that really affect our business, I have been using Instagram as a way to quickly get out information and give tips that are relevant to you. So make sure to check that out if you haven't already and stay in the loop. I am so excited to introduce you to my number one style crush and dear, dear friend, Ashley Cassidy, AKA Ash B. Gash. Have fun.
Like, I was coming down anyway, so I was like, wait, I can come early and have a day. So it was easy.
Yay. Well, thanks for being here. I mean, you need no introduction, because at the influencer dinner, you had Aaron come up to you and be like, oh my gosh, I've been following you forever. And I'm sure you get that all the time.
No, I mean, I really don't. So when that does happen, I like want to cry out inside / it's like the best feeling in the whole world. Lately, I know I just said that it doesn't happen often, so this is very, I'm going against that. But the last like a few weeks, it has happened. And it is literally the best feeling in the whole world just to like see people who follow you in person, because then I feel like they get to know me a little bit better.
Let's be honest. Like, I meet a lot of influencers. Not all the time are they as amazing as you've built them up in your head to be. And
that's my biggest pet peeve in the world, because I don't know. It just drives me crazy when people act one way on their social channels and then in person they're completely different, and you're like, wait a second, like, if not for your followers, you wouldn't even be really anything usually. So it drives me crazy when like they are not as authentic and loving in person as they are on their social channels.
Yeah, so I always try to approach it like cautiously with yeah. people. It's like, smart. Can I really let them know how much I love them and right. following them? Will they take it the right way, or are they going to be completely freaked out? So,
right.
Yeah, no, I was so nervous to meet you because honestly, God. I think like you are an OG.
Really?
Influencer. I feel like that's you were amazing. The first person I followed. I actually showed.
Oh my gosh, you're gonna make me cry.
I showed Keegan your profile, or he was curious. He was like, "Wait, what's her handle? I want to look." And he was like, "Wait, it's like you. Like you guys are like the same." And I'm like, "Exactly, because
we are the same.
Because I copy everything that she did." No,
that's good. I'm doing my job.
Well, exactly. And you've been, I think, like a standout person in my mind ever since I started working with influencers, mm-hmm. and I was like. Waiting for the perfect opportunity to offer you a campaign because I wanted to make sure I didn't look like an idiot and you're like, who is this person?
No,
what is this
never.
Product? But just through working with you with Ancient, I was mm-hmm. like, holy crap. She's just as nice and genuine and amazing as she is. And you can tell via email.
I was going to say, I feel like you're one of my first email friends. Like for a while, aww. We go back and forth and I'm like, I can tell this girl is so fun and nice just like how she emails. So...
Yeah, and I love that. You know what? And I think people think it's hard to have a professional relationship and respect each other in that way and then also have a friendship. And right. I think that's a misconception in the industry. I feel like mm-hmm. some influencers approach collaborations like, you know, they have to come in with a certain attitude or just like stick mm-hmm. to their guns. And I totally respect that. But I also want people to feel comfortable talking to yeah. me because I also want what's best for you. It's not right. like... You know, to be honest, it's not my company. I work for this company. Right. And as much as I'm passionate about it, I also know that like my job isn't to just say like all or nothing, like it's my way or the highway. It's right. about creating that collaboration
yeah.
like, in all senses of the word.
Right.
So when we started working together, I was so excited that you were as nice and amazing and wonderful as I expected you to be.
Thank you.
And then when we met at the influencer dinner, it was so much fun. I felt like your sister.
I was so pumped that we sat next to each other. I was like, wait, this is the best thing in the world. Even if you rigged it, I don't care.
I was about to say.
I was so happy.
You purposefully orchestrated that.
Loved it.
And Blake was there too. And so, I mean, it's just so amazing the friends that I've met through this
yeah.
industry that you know, that gets a bad rap a lot of the time for being inauthentic.
It totally does. And it's so funny because, I mean... Rewind 10 years ago, in my wildest dreams, I never would have thought that I would make the relationships I've made today through an app or online or whatever. And I attribute it so much to like everything going on in my life right now because I've met the most incredible people, learned about the most incredible brands, like so many things I would have never known had not this come around. So I'm pumped about it.
Well, and I want to hear, because this isn't something that we've talked about before, how you got started.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I was saying earlier, in my mind, you are an OG because I think I started following you when you had like 20,000 followers.
Yeah.
So I've really been able to see your growth.
Okay, so I actually started it when I was in college. It was my senior year and I went to college in San Diego to get my fashion merchandising degree because I had this narrative in my head that I was going to be this like fashion designer and do all these great things and blah, 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 which was such a fun dream, but obviously evolved as I got into the world of fashion and just kind of saw it for what it actually was and like what it does take to do certain things. So went to school in San Diego and got my degree, realized quickly that the life I had thought was going to be my life in San Diego was really not what I needed at the time. So I did the whole like working at Nordstrom thinking like I had my finger on the pulse of fashion. And then when graduation was coming around, I realized quickly that there were no fashion jobs in San Diego unless it was like a swimwear brand or, you know, yoga or flip-flops, which was great. And like now in my life, I probably would value that type of career. But back then I was like, no, I want like the streets of New York. I want to work at a magazine. Like that was my biggest dream, was to work at some publication. So quickly realized that wasn't gonna happen. So I lived in San Diego for about a year after graduation. I had started my blog January, literally New Year's Eve, so December 31st, 2012. So like January 1, 2013. And I just like was obsessed with Pinterest at the time. When I studied abroad my sophomore year, my roommate had like introduced me to Fashion Toast, Rumi Neely. Have you heard of her? She's like, she's mm-hmm. amazing. And so I quickly became obsessed with like this online world, which I had always thought, I just like didn't know where it had gone after MySpace, which like sounds so cliche, but I was so infatuated with MySpace in the sense of how I could build a website and I could write code and I could, you know, like alternate like text and all these things. I could like actually create something by myself online. And so as dumb as this sounds, like MySpace was my very first taste at like website design and having a presence on the internet. And so when that kind of faded away, I was then that I realized like blogging was super similar to that, and I could build a website and put pictures up, and you know, it was my way of owning that. So I made a blog. I had my friends take pictures of me in between classes. Like, it was just so different from what it is now. It was actually called Polka Dots and Sailor Stripes at the time, which is what Erin mentioned at the dinner. And I was like, oh my gosh, you really are OG.
Damn, she beat me.
She did. She really did. That was, she proved, yeah. If you come up to me and you say that, I'm like, you've literally been around from day one. But that was when I was like Kate Spade obsessed and like whatever. So very long story short, I realized San Diego wasn't the right spot for me. I was still blogging, but it was like, you know, at that time, like such a pipe dream. Like people were really like, what is this? You're not going to make money doing this. It's not a real career. It was more of like a haha, you're cute, have fun. And if anything, I was like super embarrassed to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I moved to LA. I quit my job. I was working at like a medical company and I was miserable. But I moved to LA, took an internship that was in the heart of downtown LA, lived at my parents' house because I obviously couldn't afford to live in LA and be an intern. So I used to commute to work like an hour and a half every day, both ways. So I was like living in my car, basically trying to make this job something. And through that, like just started meeting amazing people. I started to realize that a lot of other girls were doing this whole thing. It was then that I realized social media was a job, because that was what my internship was. It was like a social media intern. So that just started to evolve. And I went from there. At that company, I was like doing some sales and social media on the side. Then I jumped from that company to a denim brand where I was actually the social media manager for the denim brand. Really had not a clue what I was really doing, but it was an amazing place to get connected hands-on with other influencers, because I was doing events and I was, you know, building a social media strategy for a brand and honestly just learning as I went. And then from there, I was the digital marketing director for a company from Italy. And then I was let go from there, which was really the pivotal point in my life where I realized that I could make this a job. And then I took another job for 6 more months, kind of like my contract didn't get renewed there. So it was like semi a let go situation, but also like just not a renewal thing. And then that was when I was like, all right, it's time to like find out if I could do this, because it's now or never. And now we are here a year and a half after all of that happened.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Okay. So I really respect the fact that people kept telling you, oh, this is cute.
Yeah.
And you kept going and pushing forward, because I mean, I can relate to that. At certain points when you have a passion project, you kind of feel burnt out almost, mm-hmm. because you're having to work 10 times harder.
Totally.
So what do you think motivated you to keep going when people were telling you, oh, this is silly?
Honestly, the only thing I can really attribute to never getting burnt out is that I was so deeply passionate and obsessed with the whole process. I loved writing. I've had a journal since I was little. Like, I have a chronicle of my entire life, basically, because I love to write. I had the deepest desire to work in magazines that I was like, this is my own magazine. It's like my rules type of thing. And I don't know. I think that like just when people were not supportive of it, I was like, well, it really doesn't matter what you think, because like I like what I'm doing and it's fun for me. And it was more of like an outlet, because the feeling that I have in my heart when I press publish on a blog is like euphoric. Like, it's just the most fulfilling feeling when I write a blog and I put it out there, even if like no one reads it and like it's a dud, whatever. It just feels so good to see your work come to life. And I think at the end of the day, what the coolest thing is like no one can tell you no anymore. So though people were like hating on it and they thought it was stupid, and they still, like, I still struggle when people are like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I just jump around, and I'm like, I'm in marketing and advertising, and I write, like, I feel like saying I'm a blogger is a really weird thing. But at the end of the day, like, no one can take that away from me. Like, no one can lay me off from my blog because I own it. And it's given me the most incredible opportunities. And I think I started to see that a little bit early on, thankfully. So I just kept at it. And it, thank goodness, it got me here.
Yeah. So back in those early days when you were working jobs and internships, mm-hmm. and then doing this on the side, how many times a week were you engaging with your audience and posting? Like, when did Instagram come into the mix? And
so Instagram actually had just come out, like, the year I started my blog, because I will never forget, my little brother, like, back when the popular page was, like, actually a popular page, and, like, you would get on it and you'd get, like, thousands of followers, he had it then, and I was like, why would anyone ever care about one photo that you posted of, like, your food? And, like, why would you talk to them through an app? That's so weird. And I was not an early adopter in Instagram, unfortunately, because I was like, this is weird. So it was very similar timing, because then I did get it and started to realize, like, oh, I guess it's, like, just another thing. Like, social media started to become a real factor in our day-to-day lives. And it was a few months, I will be honest, like, I was not posting anything on Instagram that related to my blog. And I will never forget, I was driving in my car, just as bad I'm admitting this because I was on my phone, but I was driving in my car and I was like, I'm just going to post a picture and, like, see what happens of myself. Because it was, you know, it was always of friends or, like, of my coffee or whatever. Like, looking back at the archives is very embarrassing.
Same.
Yeah. But thank goodness for the archive button. Yeah. I'm like, I'll save these for myself. No one else.
That's a part-time job in itself, just going back and archiving everything. Oh, my gosh.
Scrolling and you're like, bye. Let me say. Bye. But anyway, so I, like, pressed post for the first time on an outfit photo, and I will never forget, it was just, like, the most, like, photo I ever posted. It was, like, 196 likes, and I was like, holy crap, like, that's a lot of likes. And so after that was when I had got, like, the rush of, you know, getting content out there and owning the fact that I had a blog happening on the side. So they were very in this, like, similar time frame. But
yeah, and so you also met, obviously, a bunch of people. Well, you kind of moved to where your people were, which I think is so cool. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about mm-hmm. my recent move to San Diego. I kind of feel like I moved closer to people who would understand me and are interested totally. In the same things as me. So what did that do for you when you kind of moved and you found, like, a different tribe of people? Because I know you have an amazing tribe of girls.
Yeah,
that you
I'm so thankful.
With.
My besties, honestly. It was such a turning point. To be honest, like, this year, 2019, has been the biggest turning point, I would say, in my career. But when I did move to LA, it was, like, 2015, I think. And it just got me in the middle of everything. Like, I started going to events and, you know, I would bring a friend that wasn't a blogger to events to give me that little boost of confidence of, like, moseying around and talking to people. But it just, like, it's so hard to visualize an industry you don't know about when you're not in it. So once I put myself in it, not saying it's necessary, it just, like, it's a little bit quicker of a journey when you put yourself in the pulse of what you're trying to accomplish, and then trial and error. So I just started to, like, Google PR firms because I realized that's, like, how a lot of brands work, and I didn't know that before. Like, this most simple concept I didn't even know existed. So I just started to, like, introduce myself to PR companies, being like, hey, I'm a blogger in the area, let me know if you ever need people to come
to
your
events. How many followers did you have at this point, do you think?
I remember I was between, like, 10K in my very first job, because I, like, did a giveaway and came to work the next day, and my coworkers had decorated my desk with post-it notes that said 10K all over.
Oh my gosh.
So that was, like, in 2015. And I will not lie, from then, I was in, like, the 10 to 20, 30K range for years. Like, I hit in my last job, so a year and a half ago, I think I hit, like, 40K or, like, even 30K maybe at my last job. So that is, like, I think a lot goes into that. I built my following based on polka dots and silver stripes, and it was super colorful and playful and very Kate Spade inspired. Then I moved to LA and I was like, I can only wear black and navy and or white, or, you know, like, black and nude. And so I completely 180'd my brand, not even knowing I was doing that at the time. So I like rebranded myself by accident. My followers were like, this is not what you signed up for. So the transition from San Diego to LA, I think in a way stunted my like social growth, but completely catapulted me in networking. So all works out for the greater good. But my growth was like super slow for a while. So it really gave me time to like hone in on what was working, what wasn't, like why I wasn't growing and all of that. So my transformation truly happened like when I left my last job and I embraced the lifestyle, I embraced all these girls. I really think like networking and building a tribe is so important for success because I myself am like an introverted extrovert. I love my alone time, but it's so important to get out there and if not just to make friends, to like lean on someone that's in the industry and understands the pressure points that you go through. Because like at the end of the day, I can talk to my husband as much as I want about what I'm frustrated about with the brand and he'll be supportive, but he doesn't truly get it to the point where he can, you know, go back and forth. So having a tribe of girls and guys that are doing the same thing as you are, it's just so much better on every level, like therapeutically, socially, and everything. So
yeah, no, I can completely attest to that. And it also gives you the confidence to kind of go for things that you wouldn't otherwise, because totally. You have people who get it and are encouraging of that.
Yeah.
100%. So yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I'm curious to know, do you guys swap tips and tricks? Do you guys, you know, send each other brands that they would like, do you guys use each other as a resource?
Yeah, all of the above. Honestly, we share all the secrets, because blogging and social media and all of this stuff is so new. Like, it's a 10 to 15 year industry, and even the last 5 years it has completely changed. It changes every day, so there's no set of rules for anything. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to go in and negotiate brand deals, especially when you're not represented by anyone who's backing you, without knowing like where to start. Like, there's no baseline. So it's really amazing to be able to be honest with girlfriends and be like, this is what I'm charging for this kind of thing, and this is what this brand ended up paying me for this, because there's really no transparency in the industry, because it's like voodoo to be like, oh yeah, I got paid, you know, $500 for this, or this brand has budget to pay $2,000 for this. And it's like so all over the board, which it's like a blessing and a curse. But at the same time, it's just like so frustrating, because you want to be successful, but you like don't have a starting off point, and you don't want to like over pitch and then the brand be like, no, that's way too much, or undervalue yourself. So it's just this like slippery slope that is so much better easily navigated when you have people to lean on and be transparent with. So we talk about everything. Like, we have a group chat and we'll be like, hey, contract says this, like blah, 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 this brand reached out. We're actually doing a really fun thing on Monday all together as a group for Friendsgiving, because this brand saw that we're friends. So we're just, it's just like the coolest thing in the whole world. And honestly, the only reason it happened is because I like decided to go to Cabo with these girls in February. Like, didn't even know two of them. Hadn't like spent that much time with the other one, but I was like, yeah, let's go international together. Why not? And since then we have hung out every week. So just gotta take a risk.
Yeah, I mean, it paid off for you.
Yeah, apparently. Totally.
No, I think you've hit on so many important points there. I feel the same way, but from the brand side, and I get frustrated. That's kind of why I started this podcast, is because I got frustrated. Like, why won't anyone talk to each other about what we're actually thinking and feeling and what our intentions are?
Oh, give me chills.
Because, you know, I feel the same way about other people who represent brands as you do about other influencers who maybe don't respect the trade as much, because I think when you work for a company and you have a big, giant budget, you can just throw money at things. Like, my best friend works in digital advertising for a giant, giant brand, and she's working at scale, and she doesn't, you know, she's like, well, honestly, I just sent, you know, have a budget. I pick a few people, pay them whatever they ask, which is fine for her situation. But then if that's a competitor brand from ours, a smaller brand, we can't necessarily compete with that. And so, I mean, it's just like any kind of business, it drives the price up, you know, all around. So being able to work with people who understand that and who kind of look at both sides and weigh those options, like what is a happy medium? What's going to make me feel valued as a collaborator, but mm-hmm. then also what's going to make sure, you know, I have a good relationship with this brand and that right. we can work together and there's longevity in that.
Right. And that's what I feel like underlying is always the goal. Like, first of all, you've done such a good job creating relationships. So I feel like no matter what, my desire is like to work with you and your brand because of who you are and like what you represent. But then at the same time, like you've always shown the consistency where it wasn't like a one and done, try the product, do the ad, whatever. It's like, hey, let me introduce you to the product. Make sure you love it. I love how you guys work with the format of like, you know, I can try multiple products because I'm using them every day. So it's more of like a no-brainer and a like you said, longevity, like the consistency of collaborations that come is so much better when it's a long-term partnership because then it shows like goodness on all levels. It shows your followers you really use the product. It shows the brand that like you're dedicated to them. Like it's just all around. I respect so many brands that are like, hey, we don't have this like ungodly budget we can throw at you one time, but we can work together for like the next 6 months and do this every month. And, you know, go from there. So,
and my unique experience and is because, well, the reason why I wanted to work with you among a million that I've already mentioned is I've bought so many things because you've
really?
About it.
Oh my yes. gosh, that makes me so happy.
Word to all brands working with Ashley.
Like, that's amazing. You swipe up?
I do. That's I amazing. Do straight to Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
I knew just as a consumer, like if you know, we have this long-term partnership, if I can provide her value in that way, I know people are going to trust her mm-hmm. because you vet the products, you actually use them, you post about them multiple times.
You should see our cabinet. It's like we have a cabinet of ancient nutrition.
Girl, I feel you. That's the other point. Like, you have to love it, right? Like,
right.
this would be a different conversation if, you know, the product wasn't a good fit for you.
100%. It's, like, effortless to talk about when you truly believe and love it.
Exactly.
Then you, like, want to talk about it all the time because you're using it all the time.
Yeah, and that's the goal. And so I was super motivated to work with you and make sure that, like, you felt valued and things like that because I know for the brand it's going to pay off in the long run. Mm-hmm. But I would love to get your opinion or your tips or anything like that that you have for brands that mm-hmm. want to, you know, reach out to you or work with you. Like, what are some good things that brands do and maybe not so good things?
I will say it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine lately when brands reach out only on DM. This is like so minimal and really not that big of a deal, but it's just the extra step where I'm like, hey, I would love to chat, but like, can we move it to email? Just because I live in my DMs already because I love engaging with my followers and like I want to sit there and write to them. I don't necessarily want to do any brand negotiations. So I think first and foremost, it's really great when brands are like, hey, sending you an email, because my email is in my bio. And when they say, hey, what's your email? I'm like, it's in my bio. Please just adjust your eyes to that. So I just feel like going the extra mile and being like, from a brand perspective of like, hey, here's her email. Let's send her an email of what we want. And then we'll send her a DM being like, hey, we just sent you an email, whatever. I think that is the easiest thing brands can do from the beginning. It just shows like you're more serious, I think. I don't really take brands as seriously when they're just DMing me.
Or commenting, hey, babe, love your page.
I don't even look at that. No, don't even look at that. Because I'm just like, are you a bot? I don't know. Maybe. And then the other thing that lately has become way more important to me is when a brand, not even like, I don't even really care if they're like, hey, loved your post on this. I'm like, that's cool, but like, easy for you to go look at it. What I really love when brands do is they create the narrative of what they want to accomplish from the partnership, because then I can go in and be like, yeah, I draw similarities out of this. Like, even just this morning, a makeup brand was like, hey, can we send you eyebrow pencils? And it was like so random, but I was like, yeah, I get the most questions for my eyebrows like daily. So it makes so much sense that I, you know, accept this gifting because it's relevant. So like, I really like when brands dig deeper and see what kind of story we can create together, because at the end of the day, like, nothing is going to sell if I'm just like, hi, you've never heard me talk about this before, but I really love this hand soap. And then I'm like, swipe up to shop. No, people are like, okay, cool, random. So even then, like, if it were to be hand soap, great, but like, I would start the story like way before and I would be like, I need new hand soap, what should I get, like, whatever. So I think painting a picture and doing a story over the course of like multiple stories, story posts, is way more valuable than just like a one and done ad. And I feel like a lot of brands don't value the Instagram story feature as much as they should. Because right now brands are like, oh no, a story is like, you know, should be free or whatever. But I get obviously way more engagement on my stories than on my feed posts. Because hello, feed posts like aren't showing up half the time. Or they're not like clickable. So why would you not understand the real estate happening on Instagram stories? Because I can get in and talk my ear, your ears off, because I love to talk, obviously, like long stories all the time. And brands, I don't think, are valuing that yet. So I'm hoping that they get there.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because I wanted to talk to you about it. And that's something that I've noticed in the past, like over a year that I've been doing this. At the beginning, it was like, we never paid for stories just because you couldn't necessarily like see what kind of results that you're getting from it. These days, I'm getting, the other day, honestly, I got a rate that for the stories was higher than an in-feed post.
Yeah.
And of course, this industry is changing all the time. Another reason why I like having these conversations, just to kind of see, you know, the perspective on both sides. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit more about how brands can appreciate stories a little bit more and what goes on behind the scenes of you creating them and the messages that you get that kind of make it easier for people to actually go and purchase something.
Oh my gosh, I could talk about this forever. But there's so many things. So for starters, I have multiple posts that fall flat and will not break 1,000 likes because it's an ad and people hate it. So they won't like it. So straight out of the gate, the amount of eyeballs on stories versus on feed photos is not the same at all. Like, stories have so much more. I get thousands of more views on my stories than I do likes. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes. So already, that's like an argument for more people are seeing the story and engaging with it. Because if you just look at the features that Instagram natively has living in Instagram stories, it's polls, it's asking questions, it's all these things. So they already are giving you the tools you need to conversate with your audience. An Instagram post, all you have is comments, which is fine, but like, I don't know how many girls actually sit and respond to all their comments. And if they do, like, I actually recently started DMing girls who say, hey, where is this from? I'll immediately click on their profile and DM them a link, because I can sit there and be like, oh, it's from Revolve. And then it's like, okay, great, have fun looking for it. And you don't know how to search for it. So the steps involved with people on a post are way too many. You go to Instagram story, you do a screenshot of the post, here's a swipe up, and people can shop immediately. Anything that can keep people on their like lazy track of not having to do too much, which I don't mean lazy in a bad way, but like, we all just like the easy way. Anything that keeps it easy is going to be so much more valuable, because all you have to do is add a link and people get directed to your product.
Easier on the side of potential customer, not necessarily on your side.
So no. Oh, no, for me. And I will say, like, I really do love making Instagram stories way more, because that's how, like, my personality shines through more. Because I can do this elaborate shoot and like get this amazing space and shoot this product beautifully and be so proud of the photo. But that doesn't do anything for the brand's voice. It doesn't do anything for my voice. If anything, it just like is contributing to my feed aesthetic. In the story, I can be like, hey, I have no makeup on. My hair is a mess. I just got done sweating in the gym, but I'm really obsessed with this protein powder. I use it every day. And people are like, cool, I need protein powder. I work out. You know, they can immediately put themselves in your position. Because it's not curated. I do my best not to make them, like, I don't try aesthetically hard on my stories, because I'm like, this is what is my life, so I'm going to show you what's going on. So I feel like just the beauty in the transparency and the authenticity in stories is invaluable to brands, and I hope that they start recognizing that, because I even recently was able to do a campaign at the same time that I was actually talking to my audience about a topic, which was really cool. And it's not something I had done in the past, really. But a couple of like weeks before I posted a photo, I got on my stories and I was like, hey, I hate wearing a bra. what kind of pasties do you guys wear? Like, send me opinions. So many girls responded, and so many girls said, please share the results because I don't know what to buy either. And so I was like, okay, cool. Wow, I had no idea. Like, I really didn't think anyone was really going to respond. So then the conversation, like, continued. I was answering DMs for, like, days of girls being like, what did people say? Like, I hate this one, but I love this one. So all of this to say, I then, like, got a collaboration with a brand that I really liked, and it was available on Amazon. So it was, like, all these little things were perfectly in line with the topic. So that made the collaboration feel that much more complete. Because I was like, hey, girls, here is the one I recommend. Here's a photo. Here's a link. And it wasn't out of nowhere that I was like, hello, let's talk about pasties, even though I've never done that before. Mm-hmm. So the stories just bridge the gap from influencer to consumer to brand and make it all so much easier and it flows so much better.
Is it taboo or is it looked down upon if a brand asks you to screenshot the results of stories?
No, 100%. People ask me that before we even start a partnership. Like, brands that are getting smarter with stories, they'll say, like, can I see metrics before we sign on for this? Because you can't lie on stories. Like, you can't buy story views. And in this era of buying likes and buying followers, which is so infuriating, you really can't fake the back end. You can fake, like, you know, the numbers people are seeing on the front end, but when it comes down to the nitty gritty, like, those metrics are gold, and I will gladly share because mm-hmm. there are so many that I'm so proud of just because so many people clicked on it, and I had no idea that they would care about a random product. Like, my shopping cart that I bought at the Rose Bowl flea market, so many people have asked for a link to, and I'm like, yes, join the cult that I have of this shopping cart. But, like, random things like that where it's like, you can take that to brands and be like, I can sell random crap, so hire me.
No, okay, well, that's so important. It's so important that you come to brands with data and numbers and come to them, and you're just so smart in the way that you approach everything that you just said, because if, you know, that's what brands want to see. Maybe they're saying, I can't, you know, give you money for a story because the ROI, how am I going to measure that? But then you can say, here's exactly how.
Totally.
So that's the way that influencers, and that's kind of the issue between, I feel like there are creators who think of their account as a business and who don't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important switch when you still keep it fun and light and all about Ashley and everything that matters to you, but then also understanding that you do have a business and understanding mm-hmm. the numbers behind it and things like
totally.
That. So it seems like obviously you do a really great job of keeping great synergy between the things that you're interested in and the brands that you work with, and your audience recognizes that. How do you make sure that you are only working with brands that you actually really relate with? Are you doing most of the reach out, or are they coming to you? How does that look?
I've been very lucky, knock on wood, in the sense that I get a lot of brands coming to me. Whether or not we end up working together or not, I really have been able to kind of pick and choose who I want to work with. And it's very easy to spot a brand that, like, makes zero sense versus a brand who I'm like, oh yeah, I'd buy this myself. And that's kind of how I go about it. Like, if I'm going on a website and I can't find a shirt to save my life, obviously I shouldn't be creating content for them. Because even if I did find one shirt, why am I going to just promote one item to my audience versus being like, I found this brand, I'm obsessed with everything on their website, this is what I picked, but, like, look at these 15 things that you should go buy right now. So if I can't, like, immediately get this feeling of, like, yes, this is me, or this is my girl that I'm speaking to, it's obviously not a fit. And I have, like, turned down things before that were, like, very appealing because I was just like, no, I can't even imagine how I would market that. Like, random things where I'm like, why would I ever talk about this on my feed? Like, it doesn't happen in my normal life, let alone I don't know how I would capture it on photo, let alone write copy for it. So if I can't see that clear beginning to end, an outcome, it's a really easy no. And I actually, like, this year I saw, like, this quote that I'm sure everyone's heard, but if it's not a hell yes, then it's a hard no, which has been such a small token of advice that's actually helped lead me through a lot, because I'm very much a people pleaser and I'm like, oh yeah, like, I can make this work, like, I could do this, and, like, if this was perfect then it would be good, I think. But I'm like, okay, no, if there's that much thought into, like, maybe saying yes, then you obviously shouldn't say yes. So it's been pretty easy to navigate through that. But when I want to work with a brand or hope that I'm on their radar, it's usually something I'm already using every day and tagging anyway, because I'm like, hey, hi, hello, I love your product, or I love your clothes and I would really love to work with you one day. So I just kind of do that in the sense of like, I would love for them to even see that, and when it's the right time for a collaboration, they know I'm there, because I feel like everything happens for a reason, and my whole business has kind of got to where it is today because of that, more or less. So
what are some standout collaborations that you've had? Like, when you think about everyone you've worked with, what are some key moments?
Honestly, I think the things that like really make me sit back and go, wow, are when I work with people like travel brands, like when I go on a trip, that just like blows my mind and will never, that novelty will never wear off. But then also like brands like PacSun and Tilly's, like they might not be like, you know, designer brands, but like I have shopped there my whole life. And when that brand comes to me and is like, hi, we know who you are and we want to work with you, it's just like, it just is so crazy to me that something that felt so out of reach and untouchable when I was like maybe in college or even high school and was shopping at these stores now is like my job and my direct world. Like, I realized that I think the coolest thing behind every collaboration I get is the people behind it, and I get to see that there is like heart and soul behind every brand. So even not the name, like names don't always come to mind for me of like when people ask what collaborations I've worked on, but it's like the people that stand out and the experience and like the people I've made friends with over email and like things like that. Those are like the standout collaborations because it's long lasting and I can always like go back to them and, you know, make that connection. But I've like worked with Zappos this entire year, and even that, like I've become friends with that girl, like she just got engaged, and like it's like the littlest things where like these name brands are turning into people for me. Mm-hmm. Which I think is the coolest thing.
It's so funny that I feel like we've come full circle almost in a way, because it used to all be about, you know, social media, using it for a connection. Mm-hmm. And then people started freaking out when businesses were grown and made on social media. And then we were like, oh no, social media is the devil and taking us away from human connection. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that's a way for brands and influencers to stand out, is mm-hmm. by having that human connection. Like when I'm talking to you, I don't feel like I'm just talking to a random collaborator. I feel like I'm talking to a friend.
Yeah.
And so that social connection piece of it is still so, so important mm-hmm. when you're talking about long-lasting success in the business. Mm-hmm. So it's so cool that you said that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it is a hard world, social media. I know I obviously can't say it's not the demise of a lot of mentalities, and people really struggle with it, which I hate that. But at the same time, like, there's such beauty in this world that it's just crazy, again, like bridging the gap between friends and like girls that don't have access to maybe a close group of girlfriends in their hometown, but like they follow some bloggers that they feel really strongly connected with. And like we help them navigate through whatever is going on, which is what I also think is so cool about like not really like niching down, is I feel like I could spread myself to so many different facets because I want to connect with people with what's going on in their life and explain like what happened to me in that time of my life. So everyone was always like, you know, niche down, like you need to focus on one thing. But I'm like, no, because like I talked to this girl about past relationships, and I talked to this girl about working out in the gym when you have zero desire to. And then like I talked to this girl about hair extensions for her wedding next year. So I think it's so cool to be dynamic and like embrace the people that maybe struggle with social media and like be that friend for them and lift them through like the sad times.
Yeah. And you're so relatable in that way. And I think that's probably a big catalyst for your growth, is that people like me, and I can, you know, sure, I'm speaking for a lot of people, mm-hmm. see themselves in you. That's and you're amazing. Just so down to earth, and you really do come off with like the best intentions. It's not like, hey, I'm trying to sell you something. It's, you know, oh my gosh, Ashley posted about that and I want it.
Yeah,
it's
that's that amazing kind of thing. I love hearing you say that, because that, I don't know, in this industry, like that was the other harsh reality when I moved to LA and started going to events. The people that I followed, I was like, you make me feel terrible about myself when I see you in person sometimes, because they're not warm, or like maybe they are like super introverted, so they struggle in that sense, and like it's not fair to place judgment. But that was something I always wanted to make sure was at top of mind for me. Like, I truly want to be friends with everyone. I have no reason not to embrace like anyone that comes my way or like that I come their way, everything. Like I love human connection. I think that's the other thing that's like fueled me through any of the doubt that I've ever had for this, because like the high that I get from connecting with people and then like making a new friend is just amazing. Like it's the coolest thing ever. So
you're amazing. You're perfect.
You're amazing.
Is there anything that you feel like is taboo or off limits or something that you wish you could talk about more, but you're scared of what people will say?
I kind of will talk about anything that I'm confident in backing up. Like I will admit, as much as I really would love to be super knowledgeable, I don't really have much factual information about politics. Like it's just not something I spend a lot of time on. So I'm very like picky with the beliefs I share, just because we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Yesterday I shared like something about a plastic bag made out of cassava flour. And then the day before, like showed a plastic bottle on my Instagram. So like, and like people came out of the woodworks and love to talk about things, which is fine. Like everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I just don't want to waste my energy and like arguing something I don't necessarily spend time on anyway. So I kind of like keep more of the emotional topics at bay, unless it's something I'm like super passionate about and I would have no problem sitting there and like engaging with someone back and forth on it. But other than that, I'm an open book. Like if someone were like to ask me to talk about like the darkest time in your life or like how you grew up or your last relationship, like I would tell them everything. Mm-hmm. So there's really not anything that I wouldn't be comfortable sharing, because I feel like that, again, like that's what makes everyone feel a little bit, or that's what makes the world feel less hard. The more we know about each other and the deeper we can connect, the easier it feels to get through life. When we were just in Kauai, we were talking with the locals and they have a term for it. They call it talking story. And it's like, instead of just scratching the surface, being like, hey, hi, I'm Ashley. This is what I do for work. What do you do for work? Cool. Where do you live? Great. Nice to meet you. It's like, hey, like, you know, tell me about your family and tell me about like a struggle you went through that made you who you are today. And that's like what gets me going. I could literally talk to a stranger about anything in that sense. So the more I can share, the better, because I just like get, that's like how my heart gets full, is like to connect with people like that. So I'll talk about anything.
No, and that's great. And I remember right when you, right before you got married, I think you did a blog post about like things that you would do differently.
All the mistakes I made.
I can't tell you. I instantly clicked on that link and I read it and I just connected to you on so many levels about, you know, just like different things with family.
Yeah.
And being so present and, you know, waiting to the last minute on things. And when you look up to someone, and on Instagram, it's all the highlights, right? So it's totally easy to be like, oh, this person's life is perfect, blah, blah, blah. So of course, part of it was like, oh, she went through the same things that I went through with my wedding. And she's someone who I look up to.
Yeah.
So it made me feel more normal, which is so helpful.
That's amazing. Because, I mean, that was kind of like one of the... I've gone through a lot of phases through my blog where I'll like, you know, when I was moving to LA, I wrote like a super deep, like threw it out all out on the line, like of this is why I'm moving. Or this is like, I think it was after I had moved or something. I wrote a very raw blog post of like I mentioned earlier, like what I thought my life was going to be like versus what it actually was. So, and that was like one of the first times I think I was ever like raw and like kind of scared to press post because of people who might read it. But I got such an outpouring of everything from people. Like people text me, people were messaging me, people were emailing me being like, wow, thank you for sharing. Like people I've known my whole life were like, I'm so proud of you. Just like so many different responses to that. And I was like, oh, you mean all I have to do is like tell the truth and people care, rather than being like, this is my new shirt, these are my new pants, here's the link. Like people don't care. People love knowing that they can relate to you and that you're normal. And when we first got engaged, I had so many people reach out being like, congrats, this is going to be the best time of your life, it's going to be so fun. So many girls like missed wedding planning, it made them a wedding planner because they loved it so much. And I was like, can't relate, guys, I freaking hate this. And I started to feel really bad. I almost was like, am I not supposed to be engaged? Like, am I not a good fiance? Like I started to have all this other doubt because I was told I was gonna feel one way and I didn't. And so I was like, this can, I cannot be alone in this. Like, I cannot be the only one that when you ask me how's wedding planning, I literally word vomit all of the negative things. And I started to feel like I was just like such a downer in the wedding topic. So then I just started writing about it. And when I looked at my post in like my wedding tab, a lot of it was like more the real side of things. It wasn't like, I went wedding dress shopping and it was perfect and I'm a princess. It was like, hey, these are the 10 things that freaking sucked about dress shopping, so be prepared. And I just wanted to like not talk about the butterflies and rainbows that happen when you're engaged, because I was like, it's not always like that. And I don't want brides walking around being like, should I be getting married? I don't know, because I hate this. So I thought that was more important to like speak to that rather than adding to the noise of like wedding life is perfect life, because...
Yeah, and I wonder, I think about this a lot just because of everything that I see and I consume, and sometimes I feel guilty, I don't know if you can relate to this, about promoting consumerism, and...
I have that happen a lot.
And I'm just working for the brand, so I'm curious to know, like, how you feel about that, because I know you share, like, yesterday you shared, and I watch your stories and what you recommend, because, honestly... I mean, influencers are so valuable to brands is because they help you differentiate yourself and tell your story through them. Mm-hmm. So I really obviously take your advice on things, and I know that you really do your homework, but it's still overwhelming when there's 5 different brands, right?
Totally.
So do you typically ask brands to let you know before they send you things, or is that surprise gifts? What do you do with all that product? Like,
oh my gosh. And... just side note, tangent on that, it doesn't, this is going to sound like first world problems, but it really does kill me to do too many unboxings. Like, I never want to ever, ever look like I'm bragging, ever. If anything, I'm doing the story because the brand wants exposure. And so first and foremost, like, that's the first struggle I have with like all the product, because people, I will get like multiple messages throughout the week of like, it's like Christmas every day, it's so lucky, must be nice, which, yes, like, I cannot ever complain, I like want for nothing, but at the same time, like, a lot of the times, like, that's what brands view as compensation. I don't know if you ever tried to pay your rent with a pair of shoes, but it doesn't work. So as much as I'm lucky for these free things, I'm also like sitting there being like, how can I make rent money? So that's like the one struggle. The other struggle is, yes, a lot of PR companies have my address, and I honestly feel like they give it to brands sometimes, because I've gotten packages from brands I've never heard of. I like will go and look at my email, never got an email from them. So sometimes things show up as a surprise, but more often than not, I won't accept gifting, because gifting is not no strings attached. It's very much like, we'll send it to you if you give us social love, and a lot of them want a static post, and I'm like, okay, I know it may not think like look like this, but this is my job, and doing a static post for you is like not necessarily easy. So I've started saying no, just because I don't want them to waste their resources. I don't need all the product. So that's the other part of that. And then with the product I do have, I will like go through and pick out brands I really love and like product I really want to try that sounds appealing. And the everything else, after like my best friends and my family goes through it, I donate it. Or I've started putting it in Poshmark envelopes, because I'm like, oh, you probably need 3 new lip glosses. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a fun way to like surprise people with that. I'll do giveaways sometimes, but even that isn't very like, not a huge return, because I feel like people don't really, I don't know, I haven't seen a ton of success with that. But I will just donate it, because I found a thrift store in my area who accepts beauty products and it goes to a church. Mm-hmm. So I'll just drop it off there, because I can't keep it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the consumerism is a tough pill to swallow, because it feels very wasteful.
No, yeah, and I think about that too, but I also know that, you know, we do as much as we can on our end, and even next year we're going to try to be even more intentional about only sending people things that they actually pick and choose.
That's amazing.
So I just think it's an important thing for brands to think about when they are just doing mass sends. One, yeah, they're not effective, because if you don't know them, you're not going to pay any attention, and it's just completely wasteful.
Yeah.
But then also on the influencer side, it's important to realize like that if strings are attached, that you need to be aware of that.
Yeah.
And not accept things that you won't actually use.
I think a message to brands that like, a lot of influencers, when they get the opportunity to post, they do, which brands should automatically take note of this. If a package shows up and it is advertised that the product is, or the packaging material is recyclable, or like, I got a bag yesterday, and the bag was biodegradable. And on it, it said, like, this is a dirt bag or something. And it went, it was, like, cheeky and cute. I posted it multiple times just showing the bag. Like, not even the product inside. But I was like, hey, this brand gets it. So instead of, like, buying the branded sunglasses or buying the branded anything that, like, I'm not going to use because who's going to put in their home, like, a branded anything? Like, don't spend money on that. Spend money on the packaging that is planet friendly and has a message behind it, and you're gonna get like 10 times the amount of social shares because people will be like, hey, this brand cares and they're trying to achieve something greater. Mm-hmm. So
you've just totally hit the nail on the head of like a new trend that's definitely popping up. What are some other trends that you've noticed recently? It can be just like any apps that you've been using and loving, or it can be any messaging that you really relate to or that you see your audience really relates to.
I feel like lately, actually I was thinking about this on the way here, I think I've seen a lot of girls supporting girls, and I know that's always been a theme, but lately it's like I've really seen a lot of transparency when people are like replicating something they've seen. Like my friend did an outfit post the other day and she was like, got this outfit inspo from Ashley, or girls doing stories and they'll be like, hey, got this story idea from so-and-so, and like they're really inclusive of like, this isn't my original idea, it's from this girl, you should also check her out because she's amazing, which I think is really cool because we're all trying to be successful here and it's just like this little uphill battle. So anytime that you can like show some love and, you know, call someone out for their ideas, you should. So I've seen that a lot, and I feel like more often than not, like more raw content of people being like, this is me with no filter and no makeup and no frou-frou because like this is me every day. And just more like people with a deep desire to share the realness, not the pretty anymore. So it's not an app, but those are like the trends that I've seen, I feel like, in social content that's been surfacing a lot.
Yeah, and you've been super adaptable, obviously, and changing your completely aesthetic when you moved to LA, and then just, you know, how much you post on stories and do story takeovers and swipe ups. You've recently started doing tutorials and things mm-hmm. like that. So do you have any advice for influencers who kind of want to do more video or IGTV but kind of feel intimidated?
Yeah, because I'm one of them too, and you honestly just have to do it. Because what has been the driving factor for me is just looking at what I like to watch. And I'm not sitting on YouTube all day, like, Google or looking up perfect tutorials. Like, I'm just watching the real things that pop up, and I'm like, oh, I want to know how to do that. And I'll just sit and consume the content and move on. And I'm not judging it because it's not, like, edited perfect, and there's no graphics popping up, and there's no music. You know, it's not this, like, perfect production. And that's what I like. So I just realized that, like, this video is not going away, and even though it's intimidating, if anything, it's just going to catapult you to a next level, and you just have to go. Like, I know you are a fan of Skinny Confidential. I am too. I'm like freaking obsessed with them, and they always talk about like, just do it. Like, just, why are you thinking about it? Like, just launch and just try, press the post button, and like, if it's terrible, okay, like, move on. Like, it's there. It's a learning experience, and you go.
Totally. What are your favorite resources, or what resources have you been using to kind of teach yourself those things?
Google. It's a huge one. I hate when people ask things and I'm like, you could have Googled that and you would have got an answer before I could have Googled it and answered it for you. Google for sure. Other than that, like podcasts, I swear, taught me more than my college professors, which nothing against them, but like listening to people who have experienced things and talk about it has been a life-changing resource. So I love like the Skinny Confidential. They're so dynamic and no topic is ever the same. The Influencer Podcast, she's amazing. I really love like how it's very much hands-on for the industry. Mm-hmm. Jenna Kutcher, she's amazing. Brittany, I can't think of her last name, but she does a podcast. She used to work for Gary Vee.
Brittany Crystal.
Yes, Brittany Crystal. She's amazing. Love Gary Vee. There's so many people. The list goes on. I really love James Nord from Four.
Yeah.
He does Forecast mm-hmm. podcast, and it's very like easy to absorb, and he's just very like dry. Like, this is what it is. Move on. So anything I can get my hands on, honestly, that teaches me something different.
Amazing. Where do you see your blogger business going?
It's so funny you ask that, because this has been, like, the last couple of months, I've been in a rut in the sense that, like, it's not enough for me anymore. Like, just posting a photo, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, if I don't have anything good to say in the caption, I sit and I think about it forever, because I'm like, it just drives me nuts when there's no thought put into it. And, like, obviously, I'm victim of that. Like, I don't, not, like, posting essays in my captions with all this value. But I've realized I can feel myself shifting, and if it's not valuable, I feel really silly posting it. So I know that the next year coming up is going to be, like, a huge evolution. I really, really, really want to do some sort of product. I have not exactly figured out what that is, but I just want to do more that helps people, whether that be through a product or some sort of, like, course or something. I just want to be helping more.
Yeah, well, I'm here for it. I'll buy whatever you create. Thanks. I'm sure I would love it. I'm here for it. We'll talk about it on the podcast again. So something that's obviously really important to the influencer space that I want to talk about more on this podcast is just, like, mental and physical health. I think it's such an important thing to talk about and for people to express, good or bad, like, whether it's your thing to talk about something negative you went through or you're more focused on the positive things that you're doing. But what's something that you feel like you do in your daily routine to just take care of yourself?
I am obsessed with my morning routine. I feel like if my morning routine is not executed the way that I like it to, my mental trajectory is just on a downward for the rest of the day. So I like to wake up and I like to be quiet, which is a little bit hard because my husband would love to turn sports on immediately, which, like, God love him, but not my favorite way to wake up. So I really like to wake up and work out is, like, probably what I try to, I feel better about myself if I work out first. So I try to do that, because if not, then I'm, like, mentally beating myself up all day, which, not healthy to do that either, but it is what it is. So I'll work out. I will come back. I've recently started to, like, really force myself to drink a whole glass of lemon water, and then even, like, celery juice if I am on the, if I'm having a good day, I'm then drinking celery juice. And then I'll wait around for a little bit and I'll make my coffee. And then while I'm doing all of this, I'll, like, be playing music. I'll be playing a podcast if, like, Brennan has already gone to work. And then I'll always have my essential oils going. I'm obsessed with my Ancient Nutrition oils. Always have those on hand. So anything to make it just, like, calm. Like, if my home feels like an oasis, then I am calm. Take my vitamins. So all these little things that feel so minute, like, really make me feel ready to, like, go into the office and bust out work all day.
Are you looking at your phone during this time?
I have not. Okay, so obviously I don't have a clear-cut answer to this, but what I try to do in the morning, because my alarm clock is my phone, which is not an excuse, but I'll shut the alarm off. I'll kind of just, like, see if there's any, like, texts or anything that I want to make sure, like, everything's okay. And then I'll, like, open email just to, like, make sure if there's a deadline coming up that, like, not, there's nothing pressing or urgent. And then I'll put it away. And I generally don't jump on Instagram until after I've worked out, just because it doesn't, like, put me in the, like, comparison pool very often in the morning. But I don't want to, like, tempt myself. Mm-hmm. So I'll just leave it away until after workout, and then I'll get up. And really, I kind of, like, I'll open it and I'll, like, check the stories of the girls I'm, like, really close with just to see what they're doing. But I don't actually start, like, doing much on Instagram until, like, between 11 and 12, because that's when my first post will go up every day. Mm-hmm. So I try to give myself, like, that morning until early afternoon to not really be in it, because then when my first post goes up, I will, like, live in it to be responding and stuff. Mm-hmm.
For all of the girls who look up to you and strive to have your job one day and do what you do, is there any advice that you would give them, or any, you know, tips of the trade, things that you do to run your business that make you successful?
I think everyone should try it. Like, that's my, I'm the biggest advocate for start a blog. I don't think it's too late ever, because everyone is different and unique and has a message to get out there. I do think that it's super important to be highly aware that content is king, especially when starting out. So, like, don't start and then wonder why you're not growing, but, like, you're not really trying to, like, showcase your outfit if you're trying to be a fashion blogger. Like, I really feel like people think it's like an easy matter of fact thing where they start a blog, they start an Instagram, and they just want to get 10,000 followers overnight. And that's not realistic. You have to give people a reason to follow you, which could be easy, could be hard, but you have to be very honest with yourself. I like judge myself every day of like, that could have been a better photo, or like that could have been edited better, or even like the crop of that could have been better so it looked better in the feed. So like, be really intense in the sense of like, give yourself grace, but also be highly honest with yourself, and don't live in this like world of everything I'm doing is great and everyone should want to follow me. You have to give people a reason. So I would say like, that's my biggest piece of advice, but also like, don't hold back. Like, don't not do it because you're scared. I listened to a podcast today, and I think it was Marie Forleo who said it, but she was like, fear is just excitement with the brakes on. So if you're scared to do something, it's probably because you should do it, but you're just like, you know, you have the brakes on, and like, you'll be so pumped after you do it. So definitely go for it, but be brutally honest in your journey and ask for help when you need it. Don't be afraid to Google things, like look on Pinterest for poses or whatever you decide to do, if it's food or whatever. Like, follow the people that you're obsessed with and don't copy them, but like, take note of what they're doing and why it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you haven't had that feeling and you don't know what that quote means, then you probably haven't done anything that like is really gonna take your life and transform it in the best way possible, because you have to take a risk to get the reward. So
100%.
And I can't say that I had that feeling until I published my first podcast episode.
Isn't it the best?
It's crazy. It's like it's unlike anything.
Like, so it like lightens up a part of you that you didn't even know you had. Mm-hmm. And then it just like, I don't know, like getting let go from my first job was like such a turning point in realizing that like, there's so much more to this whole world than like the one thing like tying you to a desk or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. having your little side hustle gives you so much life and leads to so many opportunities that you didn't even have in mind because you didn't have that risk involved with like your decisions.
And people who say, oh, you know, blogging isn't a real profession or whatever, or like, I don't know how you would take this seriously. My job wasn't a thing when I was in college.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all new territory for mm-hmm. all of us. And I think that influencers are entrepreneurs, and they all own their own small businesses, and they're all figuring out as they go, and it takes a lot of commitment and hard work.
Agreed.
I respect what you do so much. I keep doing what you're doing because
you.
I live for it. Mm-hmm. Last thing, what is a person or who's a person or a brand on Instagram that you follow who's given you a lot of inspiration or value recently?
I'm such a fangirl right now, and it feels funny because I like actually know her now, but Sivan is my, hands down, my favorite, just because I feel like she really has a grip on her audience, and she just puts content out there that she is proud of, and like, she just like gets it. Like, she is putting out like no nonsense, and she speaks directly to her audience, and they respect everything that she's saying. And I also just love her home style, like her home decor. I blame that on why I want a house, because I'm like, I just want to do my house like this. But
I need to follow her. I need to
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. And yeah, she's the same in person too. Like, we were just on a trip together, and she just like low-key and chill and
is it
building
weird?
Businesses.
Is it weird when you feel some way, a certain way about someone, and you know that people feel that way about you when
okay,
they meet you?
I'm flattered because I don't feel like anyone does feel that way, but I like, I guess I should think that way. But yeah, it is really funny because I'm like, I look at, like, just because we're talking about her, like, I look at her as, I look up to her so much. And just even what she's doing with her blogging business and how she's transforming it into brands and products, like, she's just very inspiring. And if I could be like half that inspiring to someone, I'd be very happy.
I'm sure you are. There's no doubt in my mind.
I don't know. I feel like I could talk to you for more,
I know,
like, hours. I'm like, I don't want to be done yet. How long is it?
I know. Like, my poor dogs and husband probably need
like,
water.
Can you come in the house now?
We locked them out so that my chihuahua didn't bark at everyone who walked by, which is a very good call.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I could seriously stay here and talk to you forever. Should do this again.
Oh yeah, anytime. I will drive down here. But I just feel like being transparent and like vulnerable, which is so cliche, but 10 out of 10 times that I've let something out there that someone could relate to, it has always been worth it. And it's just like made me that much more connected with my followers, which at the end of the day, like, even if likes disappear, which will be interesting to see, like, engaging with people on the back end is so important. Yeah. So give them you're something to engage with. Like, yeah. They're not going to engage with you if you're like, t-shirt only. I mean, they'll ask where it's from. But like, get to know the people that follow you, because they clearly feel a type of way about you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't follow you. So this is, I guess, to anyone wanting to start a blog or Instagram. Like, be ready to connect and be willing to connect.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a responsibility that you don't take lightly, that you can tell by how you respond to. I'm sure you respond to every DM that you can.
I feel like girls are probably like, you're weird, because I'll have like pull on paragraphs with them and they'll be like,
it's the best
thanks
thing
for
ever.
Responding. And I'm like, oh, do you have to go? Okay, we'll talk
I'm
later.
Such a creeper. Like, I watch stories and I don't respond a lot of the time unless I've met someone.
Yeah.
And I almost wish that I had, you know, said something to you before we met, because I'm sure you would have responded.
Yeah, hello. Like, when I get a DM, I'm like, do we know each other? Like,
that's so sweet.
It's my favorite thing. And yeah, I feel like people are like, wow, it kills me sometimes, because they're like, thanks for responding. Like,
yeah.
I'm shocked that you did. And I'm like, really? Like, why wouldn't I?
Because a lot of people don't. That's why.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Word to anyone not responding, they need to start responding, because that's your job.
Well, I'm sorry that I didn't mention this earlier, but where can people find you?
Oh, that small thing. My Instagram is ashbygash. And then my blog is blondcollective.com, where you can find all my social channels.
Yay! That was so fun.
It was so fun. I'm like, wait, I want to talk about 1,000 more things.
Literally, my mind, I'm like, why does this have to end?
Yep, I definitely wish I could just sit and talk to Ashley all day, even though we're only a couple hours away. I definitely wish we were in the same city, because we'd be hanging out all the time. She is such a gem. And I know that whether you are an influencer who looks up to Ashley and what she's been able to accomplish and grow with her business, or you're on the brand side looking for the perfect brand partner, I hope this episode gave you insight into what you should be looking for. I will link all of the resources Ashley mentioned, all the podcasts she loves, her blog, her Instagram in the show notes, so make sure to check that out and definitely give her a follow and learn more about what she's up to. And of course, we all want to know what kind of products or services she launches in the future. I'm eager to see what she creates next. You can also find us at Added Value Podcast. Make sure to join in the conversation there. Would love to hear from you, from what you learned about this episode and what you want to hear more of from me. That's all for now, but I will definitely be back soon with some more awesome value to add to your life and your business. Talk to you then.